We all want to belong, to be part of a family, part of a community. Jesus also built a community. As he started his ministry, he surrounded himself with 12 companions who supported him and followed him and worked with him to build up the kingdom of God. But as Jesus alludes to in the gospel reading we just heard, finding and being part of a community or a family is not always a simple and straightforward process. Even the relationships between Jesus and his family were at times fraught with tension. Jesus had started his ministry. He was espousing radical ideas, performing miracles on the Sabbath, and openly challenging the religious and political elites of his time. His family was worried. They thought he'd gone crazy, so they came to take him home in the gospel reading. Those around Jesus said to him, "Your mother and your brother and your sisters are outside asking for you." In today's parlance, what was taking place is what we would call a poorly or an ill-conceived intervention. But Jesus was undeterred by his family. He responded, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." In other words, that was his community. That was the family where he found love and offered love. Saru Brierley also had a family. Saru had a loving family. He grew up in a small village in India. One night when he was 5 years old, he snuck out with his older brother to go to the local train station. Saru fell asleep on a bench, and when he awoke, his brother was nowhere in sight. Saru, terrified, boarded a train looking for his brother. The doors were slammed shut behind Saru, and the next thing he knew, the train was coming to a stop after hours of travel in a town, in a city called Calcutta, 1,000 miles away from his home. Saru was completely isolated from his family. You see, for both Jesus and Saru, there was this time when they were separated from their family. Jesus' family turned their back on him. Saru's family was 1,000 miles away, and he had nowhere to turn. To some extent, they were each abandoned, alone. And ultimately, in our culture, we also experience times of loss and loneliness and abandonment. In fact, with the proliferation of social media and political division and family breakdowns, we can fall into the trap of believing that being alone or abandonment or isolation is just the way life is. We can believe that isolation is par for the course. It's what's expected. This phenomenon isn't just anecdotal. In Robert Putnam's seminal book, Bowling Alone, he looked at this trend of social isolation from an academic perspective. Putnam found that today there are more people bowling than ever before, yet there are fewer bowling leagues than at any time in recent history. In other words, there are lots of people bowling, but they're bowling alone. And this is part of a bigger trend. Putnam highlights how social isolation leads to poorer physical health and mental health. It leads to lower levels of happiness and satisfaction. It undermines our ability to find financial stability. The sobering reality is that our society is becoming increasingly fractured and atomized, at least in part, because we don't have deep and abiding relationships with other people. And yet, God calls us to do this exactly, to be in transformational and deep relationships with those around us. Isn't that what Jesus was saying when he said, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother"? In other words, if you do the will of God, you're part of Christ's family, part of his community. You're bound together. In Kolkata, Saru faced numerous and terrible challenges. He was homeless and had no food at just 5 years old. Saru wandered the streets. He scavenged for scraps. He found places to make makeshift shelters at night. After weeks of living on the street, a teenager brought Saru to a local police station. Saru was placed in an orphanage as the staff tried to locate Saru's family. Unfortunately, at Saru's age, he couldn't accurately pronounce the name of the town he was from. He couldn't explain how he got there by train. So eventually, the adoption agency was convinced they had exhausted all possible ways to find Saru's family. So he was put up for adoption, and then he was adopted by Sue and John Brierley, a couple from Australia who brought Saru home with them. You see, just as Saru was adopted into a new family, the promise of our faith, the invitation that Jesus gives us, is to be adopted into the family of God. Jesus redefines family as not simply people who were related to by blood, but instead those who do the will of God. Through Christ, we're told that we are bound, we are knit into a spiritual family that transcends biological ties, where we're bound together by love and by faith and by a shared mission to advance God's kingdom. You see, Jesus is calling us to real and deep and abiding relationships that transform our lives. Saru found these sorts of relationships in John and Sue Brierley. The Brierleys provided Saru with a loving and a supportive environment, giving him a stable home and access to education and a setting to nurture his spirit and his soul. And this, frankly, is what each of us are called to provide for others: stable love and support to those around us. Love and support that helps those around us grow into the people that God calls each of us to be. Interestingly, it's not just religious claims that underscore the important nature of long-term relationships. Secular research also indicates the importance of family and community in our lives. The so-called Harvard Happiness Study is one of the longest-running studies on human happiness that's ever been conducted. It found that one of the keys to a fulfilling and a rich life was not wealth or fame or material success or professional success, but was instead found in long-term and deep relationships. Long-term connections and a sense of belonging are foundational for our wellness. The Bible, in other words, and Harvard both agree that we're created for community, for relationships, and we are meant to be nurtured and supported and sustained by these relationships. When we hear today's gospel, we can get the impression that Jesus became permanently estranged from his family. After all, listen to what happened. We hear that, quote, "they went out to restrain Jesus." That's rather dramatic. And Jesus' response is also rather dramatic when told that his mother and brothers are there. Jesus said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And yet, over time, we see Jesus' family's relationship with him grow and evolve. As time passed, they clearly began to glimpse who Jesus really was. that he was truly the Son of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, we read, was present at his crucifixion. James, one of Jesus's brothers, was recognized as a leader of the church in Jerusalem by the time we reach the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Jude, another brother of Jesus, in the epistle of Jude, identifies himself with this title. He is, quote, a servant of Jesus Christ. And then we read in the book of Acts about the early church that they all came together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. We all know that for whatever reason, relationships can sour and they can be broken. But you and I are called to constantly be looking for ways that we can mend these fractures. That's precisely what we see happen between the brothers and the mother of Jesus and Jesus. Now, in a practical, concrete way, if you are looking for community or connection, if you feel alone or isolated, please let Dean Kate or me or one of the other clergy know. We can help you get involved in a ministry or put you in a small group or some other place where you can build deep and real relationships and community and connections with those around you. We can help you find your family here at the cathedral. I was recently talking to someone about redwood trees. They're some of the tallest trees on earth. They can tower up to 380 feet tall. They can weigh up to 1.6 million pounds. And they can live for 2,000 years or more. And yet, despite the colossal size of redwoods, they have an astonishingly shallow root system, with some of these redwoods only having roots that reach 6 or 12 feet deep into the ground. You see, a single redwood's root system would never be broad enough or deep enough or strong enough to sustain its weight and its height. However, you never see a single redwood standing by itself. Redwoods grow in close proximity to one another, and their roots intertwine with the roots of the redwoods around them. They're bound up in the roots of their neighbors, creating a vast and interconnected network of support. This provides incredible stability for redwoods, allowing them to withstand winds and floods and even earthquakes. We too need the support of a community. Our individual strength and resilience might seem insufficient at times, but when we intertwine our lives with those around us, sharing our burdens and our joys, but also our successes and our resources, we too can create a network that is robust enough to carry us through the greatest storms of our lives. Despite the joy and security that Saru found in Australia with his beloved parents, John and Sue, a part of him felt incomplete. A part of him felt like it was disconnected. As the years passed, Saru began to use Google Earth, scouring for digital images of India, searching for familiar landmarks or for fragmented memories or for fleeting images from his childhood. Saru's search for his history, his roots, eventually paid off. After years of searching on Google Earth, he one day recognized an image. That image jogged a memory from far back in his childhood recollections. With the support of his adopted parents, Saru traveled back to India and found his way to the small town of Khandwa, the village that he'd discovered on Google Maps, on Google Earth. And there, with the help of locals, He followed images that he remembered from his childhood until he eventually saw a doorway he recognized. Saru knocked on this door, and when it was opened, for the first time in more than a decade, he saw his birth mother, Kamla. He found his family. You see, Saru's story and the lesson of the Redwoods and the Bible and Harvard all point to one profound truth. We are meant to seek and find family and community and deep connections with those around us. We're called to make relationships and then to work to mend them when they're broken. So none of us should ever lose sight of the fact that we are a part of a vast and an interconnected family called to support and love and uplift one another. In the face of isolation and hardship, let's hold strong to the promise that we are not just bound to those who we're connected to by blood and biology, but we are bound into a bigger family connected by God's love, God's grace, and God's presence in all of our lives. Amen.